Hi, everyone, and thank you. And I realize I'm here at the end of the agenda. Just raise of hands, how many of you guys were out at yesterday's party? Yeah. All right, so I'm here at the end of ish of the program, and I'm talking about fish, and I guess a lot of you guys didn't think you were going to come to a tech conference and talk about seafood, so I'm going to try to keep it a bit high energy up here and try to keep you guys engaged while I tell you about how fish and tech, in at least in our case, actually coincide. So a few years ago, me and my co-founder, Christine, we started this company called Blue Lobster. We're based in Denmark, and we are trying to, as it says here, enable the next generation of sustainable fishing. And we do this through a digital marketplace where we can connect sustainable fishermen directly with customers, usually like chefs in restaurants and hotels and things like that. You're getting a bit of a geography lesson as well. This is Denmark over here. The status quo when we started basically had, on average, 500 kilometers for the fish to come from the catch, meaning the fishermen plopped it out of the water, until it was eaten off the plate. In a country like Denmark, that's not very big, kind of like here, that's a long distance to be traveling for no apparent good reason. And not only that, it usually took 4 days for a fish to get onto your plate. And I don't know if you guys are fish enthusiasts, but a fish after 4 days as the freshest alternative is not so nice. And as you can see here, basically what would happen is that fishermen would catch fish at one end of Denmark, get moved between an auction house, a buyer, a transporter, on average 2 to 3 wholesalers that would just repack shit again and again, and then it would come out to consumers. And what we basically set out to do was cut these middlemen out, and we could shorten the supply chain to only be 30 kilometers, bringing it from the nearest harbor to the nearest customer, and delivering within 48 hours. And of course, we do this through an app. The internet has created great things, and immediate communication is one of them. So we created this two-sided marketplace. On one side, we have the fishermen. The thing about fishermen is that they actually, in the supply chain, really lose out. They get a very small amount of money, and many of them are leaving the industry. In Denmark, 42% of fishermen had left the industry in the 10 years before we started. That's like, can I ask everyone except these chairs, you guys to stand up for a second? Also all the way in the back, guys. Yeah. I can't even see, yeah, okay, your arms are good too, I get it. It's been a tough few days. Okay, so imagine that all you guys lost your jobs. Oh, that would suck. Thanks, you can sit back down again. But that's basically what was happening in the industry. Almost half of the industry in our country disappeared because the fishermen were getting such a small wage. So it was really important for us to pay them a better price because right now they were ending up in a really expensive supply chain. The customers, on the other hand, they didn't get access to fresh fish, so that was our value proposition. So we didn't lower the price, we didn't increase the price, we just kept it at the same and then pushed the money over into the hands of the fishermen. And for that, we took a transaction fee, and that is our business model. This is another kind of quick look at the app. You can kind of scroll through some stuff, you make an order, and then you can see directly who your fisherman is. The traceability aspect is another thing in the supply chain that's really, really difficult today. Around between 24 to 34% of fish is mislabeled, which means that if we went out a group of people and all ate, 4 people, and we all had the same fish, we ordered the same thing from the menu, one of us would be eating a completely different species. That's how bad mislabeling is in the fishing industry. So the fact that we cannot just tell you for sure what species you're eating, but who caught it and when, was actually revolutionizing for something that was incredibly paper-based before. Speaking of paper, this is literally what it looked like. Up there are the sheets of paper that our first fishermen would give to us. And that's how a lot of the industry still works. And I know the screen isn't super clear, but even if it was, trust me when I say those handwritings are really, really tough to read. And the status quo today is basically that they handwrite on their paper when they're out on the boats what they're catching, like 50 kilos of cod, 20 kilos of plaice, 30 kilos of some other fish. And then they take a picture, send it to the fishing ministry, and they said, this is what I caught. make sense of it. So there's a lot of just mistakes happening because you can't read handwriting. And I think most industries today are kind of a little bit of a level up from this. And if you make it worse, just to make things worse, imagine that we're working with fish. So many of these slips of paper are then put down into a box full of ice and then transported across. And that ink just bleeds out. And I've stood with pieces of paper in the beginning where like you couldn't see anything, really, because the ink was everywhere. So our solution, other than being a marketplace, takes care of all that really, really boring paperwork. First of all, we report the quotas to the ministry, because I didn't realize this before getting into the industry, but fish is super different than other food products. Like, most food products come from a farm. If you have beef or chicken or carrot or corn, you have a farmer who owns a plot of land, they fill it up, they harvest it. That's their own property land. But fish, unless it's farmed, it's a natural resource that's just swimming around. It's more like oil or something like that that we all have a common ownership of. And in the Baltic region, we all share an ocean that we across the Baltic nations have to talk about who gets to catch what fish and land it in our harbors. It's actually like a... Anyway, I won't get too much into that, but the point is we're talking about a natural resource that we're harvesting at an industrial level as the only food resource that we're doing it. It would be like every time the birds were flying south, people were just standing there with guns, being like, and shooting down the birds. We're doing that with fish, so quotas are important, and it's important for us to understand what we're actually catching. And with this kind of old school paper-based shit, paper-based stuff, we're not getting the real data, and that data quality we're trying to lift up. So we became the first company to create a digital integration to the quota counting system in the ministry, so that every time a fisherman uploads fish onto our platform, it's directly reported to the ministry. We then also do like other boring paperwork, like sending summaries to the accountant and allowing reporting of over the dock sales. But these things here, this is kind of how we're taking something non-digital and digitalizing it in an industry that hadn't really had a lot of innovation on this front for many, many decades. But something that was also really important was kind of changing the mindset about how we were seeing fish. Because, at least in Denmark, fish is an incredibly expensive good. But that's partly because we're wasting a lot of fish. Because as I was saying before, we're going out and we're hunting fish on a daily basis. We don't know what we're going to catch because it's kind of nature's decision, right? So what this leads to is that it's very expensive for customers because it's unpredictable what the supply is going to be. There is less fresh fish because we're not really good at mismatching between demand and supply. But there's also lots and lots and lots of food waste because wholesalers are over-purchasing to be sure that they have enough stock for the rest of the week. And that actually pushes up prices and it leads to what we call not just food waste, but life waste because we're catching fish and then we're throwing out, at our accounts, a worryingly large percentage of the fish that we catch is just going straight into the bin. So we wanted to also look at how could we change practices in this. And while it's not directly technical, I think it's really important for all of us who work with tech to understand that often there's a soft layer to adopting technical solutions. And we've spent a lot of time working with this. This is Henrik, he's one of our fishermen. And usually the way that it will work is that Henrik goes out and fishes, he plops his stuff onto the app, and then we have some happy chefs on the other side who buy it. This is typical demand supply because Henrik just goes out and he does business as usual, let's say. We spent so much time talking to the chefs about, oh, I'm so sorry this is in Danish, but I will tell you anyway, we wrote a cookbook, which is in Danish, which is why this slide is in Danish, and I apologize for that. But we basically spent lots of time with the chefs talking about, try to be non-specific about the fish that's on your menu. Say white fish instead of a specific fish, or talk to your customers and be flexible. Because the truth is, when we talk about eating seasonally with fish, we're talking day to day. Like, we can't say October is the season for this fish, because it might change depending on the weather of any given day. But another thing that happened was we allowed our chefs in the restaurants to upload their wishes to the platform, and then Henrik could see them. So if I was a chef, I'd say, I want 100 kilos of cod on Tuesday. And Henrik could see that, and when he was coming in on his boat, he would be on our app, he would look at what are the requests on there, and he would click, all right, I'll take the 100 kilos, and I will fulfill that. And we thought this was just a simple way of increasing the matches, because at the end of the day, matching demand and supply in this marketplace was our biggest challenge. But what we hadn't realized that we did when we pushed that up, that feature, was that we were suddenly creating a whole different landscape in the fishing industry that was demand driven. So this was the actual day we went down to Morten, and Morten, our fisherman here, he had caught exactly what our customers wanted. And we were like, Morten, how did you do that? Usually it's such a headache and you catch a little bit more of this or a little bit less of this, and we have to, you know, how did this happen? And he was like, oh, I looked at the app. And we're like, oh yeah, that makes sense, but like, how can you control that? And he was like, oh, well, I just put all the nets places where I knew those fish were. And suddenly we realized that the fishermen had so much more control over what they were catching on a day-to-day level than anyone in the industry had realized before. Because no one was telling the fishermen in any granular level what people wanted. They might say that generally cod is selling well, generally place is selling well, but they couldn't see exactly what people wanted day to day. So we actually started moving all the fishermen from just catching what they thought was the right thing and then pushing it into the market. And I mean, like, not just our market, but the whole market. We pushed it from that happening to actually fishermen going out and very purposefully catching things that people wanted, and there was a guaranteed sale at high prices because there was no waste. And this was honestly a fantastic fantastic innovation that we didn't even know that we were helping to push. Now, what we really try to do, and why we sometimes I say that we're a bit more of like a logistics operations than a tech company, but that's only because we've spent so much time thinking about all the different components of the logistics chains that lie behind our app. Because the reason that we can pay the fishermen 2 to 4 times as much as they usually get is not just because we've built an app that connect demand and supply. You guys all in tech, you understand the limitations of, it's never as easy as just building a piece of technology and then it fixes everything. There's a whole world of real life issues that lie behind. So we went ahead and found out, where is the actual value lying in the supply chain? And we started mapping it out. We're like, okay, the fisherman, he catches the fish. Then someone else at the harbor weighs it out into boxes. Then someone else comes and takes the fish and transports it. Then the next person sorts it into different sizes. These are 2 to 3 kilos, these are 5 kilos, whatever. Because it makes it easier to sell, which is the next step. The fish is sold. Sometimes it's cut into fillets. And then finally it's packed for consumers and then transported again. This is the process, ladies and gentlemen, which means that it takes 4 days to get a fish from a fisherman to a consumer. So we started just being like, okay, why don't we try to put some values on this? These are Danish kroner and they're just symbolic, but we basically started saying, what would the value be to do these different activities, these different exercises in the supply chain? And what we did was we went to the fishermen and said, would you like to do some of them? Would you like to incorporate it? And you can get that value on. We're not paying you more just out of the goodness of your heart. We're actually finding out we can optimize this. We can optimize it by having you guys weigh out the fish. If you will also sort it into the different sizes, you can get 5 kroner more. And if you will pack it into the final boxes, you can also get that value add there. And in the meantime, we won't have to transport the fish over there, and we don't have to sell the fish to an intermediary because the whole thing is happening on your harbor. And we went out to the fishermen, we're like, do you guys want to earn these extra steps, this value that's in these steps? And of course, because they were earning absolutely nothing, they said yes. And that meant that we were bringing, just illustrative from this case, we were bringing the income for a fisherman from 15 kroner a kilo to 25 kroner a kilo, which is a huge increase in just taking on more logistics, not also thinking about the other added value there is from going direct to customer. So the issue was also that some fishermen then said to us, it's a lot of work. Like, I'm used to just being able to land my fish, putting in boxes. I'm not really bothered sorted. Like, I don't want to stand there and take 5 tons of fish and put them into different sizes. Someone else usually does that for us. And we're like, okay, yeah. We see your point. That sounds super annoying. So what can we do? So we went back to the customers again, and that's why it's always important to talk to customers and stuff. We're like, well, how would you guys feel about something that was unsorted? This was not an option on the market beforehand. And we're like, we're going to give you a freaking good price. It's going to be so much cheaper. It's going to be fresher, but also cheaper than other things in the market. But it's not going to be sorted, and you guys will have to sort it yourselves. And some of the customers said, fantastic. Some of the customers who had a tight budget or had very, very creative chefs were like, absolutely. And suddenly we were creating a marketplace for new categories that didn't exist before. So in that way, we were really truly bringing the demand and supply closer together. And I think for anyone building a marketplace, you've probably struggled with demand first, supply first. And in this way, we just keep evolving new ways to work with both sides of the marketplace. One of the final things that I want to touch upon here is I spoke about it a little bit in the beginning, but the issue of complete traceability. We have a huge problem with mislabeling, but that is kind of like a big philosophical climate issue that we were very preoccupied with. But by creating value for our customers, we could have them care about this traceability as well. Because traceability sounds like a really, really boring word, but if you put it into the hands of a chef or someone who owns a kitchen, it suddenly becomes a story. They can tell their local customers when they come in with a fish on the plate and say, this one was caught by Brian yesterday at this exact harbor. Suddenly it becomes very romantic. Suddenly they can go out and charge more for their food because they're giving people a different kind of service, especially if it's fine dining. So we created a QR code, also as one of the first in the industry, that shows you exactly where your fish was caught. And finally, as we were growing, we continued to build onto the admin stuff because we could see that this was really an industry where nothing, absolutely nothing, was digitalized. So of course, we eventually also built a desktop app so that people could sit and do really, really, really large orders, which meant that we could not just work with the end consumers being the restaurants, but we could actually also work with really big hospitality groups, really big canteen groups, and they could streamline everything. But just to say, for people probably sitting in this room, taking an Excel sheet and turning it into a PDF is probably not a hugely difficult task. Like, it's probably something that most of us could do with our eyes closed in about 4 minutes or so. But for people working in this industry within the food systems, this was an absolute revolution that we could take some of these tasks that have been done manually and we could just automate them. And I'm sure you guys have seen this from other industries where you digitalize stuff and make it more automatic, but I think it's really worth thinking about if you guys are going out there working with very traditional industry, very old school industries, talking to your customers and finding out what are you actually spending your time on, because something like customer receipts, it was a very, very small thing, but we found out that every fisherman was spending time, he was handwriting notes, taking pictures of them, then going in, and then every night he would sit and manually code things into another computer where he would just send another picture of that, send it to his accountant, and we were circulating with just really, really, really poor practices. So by taking some of the admin burden off, it actually became one of our biggest value adds and biggest barriers to entry for anyone else who was trying to do it. And this was my final slide to show you guys some of the wonderful faces of the guys who started off with us. These are the fishermen that we hope will continue to be here in 10 years from now. Thank you so much.